Hi everyone and welcome to the Tech Recruitment Podcast. This is the episode number, the next one, so let's kick it off. Matt, I'm super excited to welcome you on the Tech Recruitment Podcast because you wrote two books, both about how to find and recruit talent. But the second book focuses on digital talent. So that's why I'm super excited to welcome you on the show and to dive deeper to learn from your experience and the key insights.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on someone else's podcast and be the person answering the questions rather than the person asking the questions for a change.
So true. Cool. So why don't we look at how the role of a recruiter is changing now with all the AI development. You also run the Recruiting Future podcast, right? So I think this is a good topic to start with. So based on your experience and what you see on the market, how is the role of the recruiter changing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question and we can't entirely accurately predict the future, as we've certainly found out in the last few years. So there's obviously a lot of debate about the nuances about what's going to happen. But I think that certainly the people that I talk to on the podcast and the people that I talk to in the industry, there is a broad agreement that AI and the developments in AI are going to really change the way that recruiters work. I think the important thing to say first up is a lot of this is about where AI is going in the next 6, 12, 18 months, 2 years. So I think you can look at some of the, you know, absolutely amazing things that you can do with AI at the moment in terms of generative AI. You know, I see OpenAI have just opening up the ability to generate videos and, you know, all these crazy things. So there's huge potential in what's already there. And I'm sure that many people who are listening are already experimenting with, you know, with ChatGPT in terms of writing copy and doing marketing and, you know, reaching out to candidates and all those kind of things. So, you know, that's very much happening at the moment. What I think is interesting is, you know, where are we going to go when these things really develop? So some of the other things that we're seeing is more automation in the recruitment process and more smart automation in the recruitment process. So taking away some of the, you know, some of the day-to-day tasks that recruiters have always done. We've seen that for a few years with things like automated interview scheduling and things like that. But AI really kind of pushes that forward a long way. And I think the other thing is things like, you know, how do you give better candidate communication and better personalized feedback and how technology can kind of help you do that. So there are lots of things on this journey that we're just starting to see the potential of, which, you know, to me, I think is tremendously exciting from a recruiting perspective, because I think that it can improve, you know, the matching of candidates, the sourcing of candidates, you know, get people who are a better fit into the organization, understand people's skills better, automate those tedious tasks and really kind of improve the candidate experience. So there's some really kind of exciting bits to that. I think the thing that people need to be really aware of, though, is how much of the job they do at the moment can be done by AI, automation, and technology. And I think it's quite easy to sort of look at the tools that as they are now and be quite complacent and say, you know what, it's fine, it's just enhancing what I do. There'll always be a need for recruiters to do all the recruiter type of things that we do. But I think that's where the challenge is, because I think that fundamentally, you know, recruitment could massively change, because there are AI has the potential to do things that we think that only humans can do. And I think that, you know, wherever you are in the recruitment industry, whether you're, you know, a freelancer, you're working for an agency, you're working in-house, there are some fundamental changes coming through to your job. And, you know, over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, you know, we're going to see some dramatic leaps forward in technology. And I think that the only people who perhaps don't have to worry about this are people who are going to retire in the next 2 years or something like that. So I think it's something that we all have to think of in terms of our career. But the potential for it to be very disruptive to people's jobs is absolutely enormous. And I think people need to be very mindful of that.
Awesome. Well, now I'm thinking about all the activities that I'm usually going through when recruiting candidates, and it starts with sourcing. It could be automated. Messaging candidates could be automated. Interviewing candidates could be automated. So then the question is, what is there actually left for recruiters? So is the future without recruiters? What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And there are a number of schools of thought on a sliding scale between nothing's going to change to there will be no recruiters ever again. And I think what's difficult is actually, you know, they're two extreme views, and it's difficult to plot exactly where we're going to be on that axis. I think that it's important to think about the value that you add as a person to the process. So ultimately, you know, recruiting is about persuading someone that you have the right company and the right opportunity for them. And that is a very human thing. Now, you know, I think we've seen from some of the things that social media have done, it is possible to, you know, persuade people using technology. But I think it's that kind of that value that people can add is what they really need to, you know, they really need to focus on. So, you know, I think that, you know, very much we will still have recruiters in the future. However, their role is likely to be much more strategic, much more advisory. And also, you know, certainly for recruiters who are working inside organizations, you know, I think that we'll see the role blending into lots of other things like strategic workforce planning and talent management and thinking holistically about skills within the organization. So there's a lot of change that's coming. And I think that if people are open-minded towards that and cognizant of where AI is going, then, you know, there's a huge opportunity to, you know, do some amazing things in and around the kind of activity of recruitment. But I think if you're complacent about it and you're convinced that you'll never be replaced by a robot, that's probably when you're most at risk of being replaced by a robot.
That's so true. So true. And what if we look at this from the candidate experience? Will they want to engage with just some robots and some AI tools? So just from my experience, when I see some text that kind of obviously is written by ChatGPT, I'm like, oh, wow, okay, this is, you know, again, one of these spam emails. So what do you think? I mean, it's kind of easy to say like, hey, we need to cut costs, so let's get rid of recruiters. But what about the candidate experience on the other side?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of aspects to that. This, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right. I think that a lot of the time, it's very easy to tell when something's been written by AI, when it's very unpersonal, when it's kind of that kind of mass mailing, you know, those kind of things. And I think that, you know, that's not what candidates want. And as I say, I don't think people will engage with that. However, what we've also got to remember is that for many people, the candidate experience is very poor at the moment in terms of the communication they get, in terms of what's going on. And I think where we've seen a lot of success so far with automated communication is where it's not pretending to be a human, but it's giving that candidate the information they need when they need it, you know, right now, and improving that communication. And I think that people are very open to that. And I think if you think about how we go about our daily lives and the amount of times, you know, we're communicating with something that's automated, but it's giving us great information just when we need it. And that's kind of, that's really important. So I think that's the now. Mm. One of the things that AI really unlocks is the opportunity for greater personalization at scale. So, you know, rather than those canned messages that, you know, that get sent out all the time, and all that's happened with AI is that people are now getting AI to write them, so they sound even more the same than they did before. But I think if we just, you know, just ease into the future a little bit, the opportunity to personalize an experience using technology is kind of immense. And I think that that could be more engaging for people. So whether that's personalizing the way that they're outreach to, or personalizing the way that they're targeted, or having a recruitment experience that's completely personalized to, you know, to them, that's enabled by technology. I think that's the bit that's really interesting. Now, we don't know exactly what that looks like at the moment, but that's the thing I think people need to be aware of. The other thing about candidates is, you know, as anyone who's recruiting at the moment will know, candidates can use AI as well. So, you know, I think that brings a really interesting dynamic because, you know, at the very basic level, you have people writing their CVs and their cover letters and their applications using ChatGPT or, you know, or similar. But you also have people, you know, downloading software that allows them to apply to 500 jobs in 5 minutes and make those applications kind of all individual and targeted. And that breaks recruitment. That breaks recruitment. And that's what I think is really interesting, because where we're going to get to is we're going to have to say, well, actually, you know, do CVs and resumes and cover letters and the way that we've already recruited, are they still valid? Are they still giving us that differentiation and telling us about the people who are applying, or are they just all the same, like the outreach emails are? So I think that's also the other aspect of the candidates, is that the candidates can use these tools as well. They already are. And those candidate-side tools will get more sophisticated. So I think it brings us to a really interesting point in recruitment where we have to question some of the ways that we've always done things, which is not a bad thing at all, because some of them are a bit strange, to say the least. And, you know, really think about how can we make sure that we've got, you know, those great matches between candidate and employer, or candidate and opportunity in the future.
It's really interesting to imagine a point when we get all of these candidates applying for the open vacancies, right? Hundreds or thousands of people suddenly, instead of just a few, as it is very common in IT. And then all of the CVs are very similar to each other, and also the motivational letters suddenly, you know, even though in IT people don't write cover letters, but suddenly they will, because it would be some software just using some kind of AI to generate the text.
Exactly. And I think that's the big question. It's kind of like, when suddenly everything is the same and there's too much of it, what do we do then? And that's what, you know, that's where we need smart thinking. That's where we need recruiters to think outside the box, to research and really you know, take recruiting to another level. And that I think is the opportunity.
Awesome. And I know that on your podcast, you focus mostly on internal HR, right? But our audience also some of them also work in HR, in internal HR, but a lot of the tech recruiters would like to start their own agencies, or they work in recruiting agencies. So how do you envision the future of recruiting agencies? Would you see a few huge agencies that have huge databases of these candidates and CVs, or rather small recruiting agencies that build relationships, or something in between?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to say, because, you know, it's interesting. It's like, how will AI disrupt that relationship between recruitment agencies and their clients, and recruitment agencies and their candidates? And it's kind of interesting to see what will happen. And, you know, my sense is that sense of, you know, building those relationships and really understanding markets and understanding candidates is, you know, is ever more critical, which is always what great recruiters have always done. So, you know, that again is an opportunity, there. And I think also perhaps, you know, recruitment agencies need to take the lead with AI. They need to show the employers, you know, how they use it, how they can, you know, interface with whatever the employer's doing. So I think that, you know, agencies have to be very proactive now to really shape that future, because, you know, I'm talking about it in very uncertain terms, because we just don't know what's going to happen. So it's that kind of that playing field that people can just get on and kind of create the future. And I think that's what's really exciting about it. But it's that, how do you understand, you know, what skills this candidate has, what skills they can learn and how they learn, and how they, you know, how they would fit into an organization? And also, can you get their attention in a noisy world full of my AI talking to your AI and all this sort of stuff? So I think it's that, you know, that understanding and that relationship building, that getting the attention of the candidate, that are key here. And, you know, technology and AI will be part of that. But it's just, what do the agencies add on top of that that solves the issue for the, you know, for the employer? And I think there's a really interesting, there's some really interesting potential spaces there that people could fill.
Interesting. And you also mentioned the skills, and especially in IT, the skills change often and evolve. And now we have cloud. Just a few years ago, you know, it started booming. Now lots of people have the cloud certifications, Amazon Web Services certifications, or Microsoft Azure cloud certifications, which was not common just a few years ago. So based on your experience, what is the best way to kind of organize the and evaluate candidates against some of these skills?
Yeah, I think it's becoming increasingly complex and more difficult. I've had a lot of conversations with HR directors, chief people officers, including some from some technology companies on the podcast recently, and that shelf life of skills is the critical thing here. So, one head of capability that I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, you know, I asked him. I said, you know, generally, we talk about the shelf life of these hard skills getting shorter and shorter. How short are they getting? And he said, in some cases, 6 months, which is, you know, which is crazy, because how do you deal with that? So it's an area that it's only gonna kind of speed up in terms of you know, the skills that people need and what they have. And I think that you know, there's lots of great sort of bits of technology being launched into the market at the moment to help companies map skills, or to map skills in external databases and all these kind of things. But I don't think that anyone has quite nailed that yet. However, again, I think the potential of AI to fix this is enormous. Also, I think the potential of AI to do things like to be able to spot adjacent skills, to say, do you know what, if someone is skilled in that, then they could very easily do this. And I think also, you know, recruitment as a whole, HR as an industry, we're very bad at that. We're very bad at taking people from one industry to another, or spotting a particular skill that might mean someone's great at another skill. And I think that AI might be able to fill the gaps there, because you know, again, I was talking to a, you know, an HR director, and they've got something like 27,000 skills locked on their database. Wow. Or something crazy like that. So it's not something you can keep up with manually, if that makes sense. And it's almost kind of fighting a losing battle. And I think some of the interesting things that have come out of the conversations that I've had are spotting things like, obviously, those whole things with adjacent skills. If someone can do that, then they can easily do this. But also spotting people with the capability to learn quickly. And it's actually, you know, particularly with these technical skills where they're so transient, is it actually about the ability of that person to adapt and learn something, you know, learn something in a self-directed way very quickly to a very high standard, that we should be thinking about, rather than their particular proficiency in a programming language or a type of technology that might go out of date very, very soon? So in some ways, it's kind of a losing battle to say, well, how do we characterize this? How do we do this? Because it will always just run out of control. And obviously, there are things that people can do in the short term to, you know, to fix that, I'm sure. But I think it's more about changing that thinking in terms of, you know, people's potential, or have they demonstrated that they've learned new skills quickly in the past. That could be the key to this.
And so with some of these skills, it's even harder because they are very broad. For example, leadership. And some of the skills are very specific, like, I don't know, designing some graphics in Canva tool, for example. I can imagine that someone just goes through some quick mini course, learns how to design some quick graphics, and then goes to Upwork or Fiverr.com, creates the account, and starts offering this new skill.
Yeah, absolutely. They're now an expert who's being paid to do it. And I think that's the thing. It's like we can learn these things. You can learn these things so quickly. And I think that classification of different sort of skills and competencies is important here as well, because, I've heard it described almost like a tree, and the hard skills are like the leaves on the tree that fall off and are replenished. But then you have the kind of the trunk and the roots of the tree, which are those kind of softer skills, whether that's, leadership or teamwork or whatever that might be. And again, I think that's really important. And what's been interesting over the last few years is the science to measure those skills has been there for decades. We've had the science to actually pretty accurately, measure some of these things that we're talking about and their impact on an organization. But the way that people have been able to kind of interact with that science has been quite difficult. It's been, locked behind, assessment companies and psychologists, and it's been prohibitively expensive for anything but large companies to afford. And I think what we've seen in the last couple of years, the launch of a number of different skills assessment platforms, all with a kind of different spin on it, who can assess some of these longer term traits and skills that we're talking about. And that's kind of much more accessible to people now. So I think that that to me is going to be a big theme in the next few years, because the science is there to measure this. It's just a question of having access to that. And I think that some of the platforms that have come onto the market with the various sort of different price points they have make that more accessible for people. And I hope that in turn makes recruiting better and more scientific, just kind of less friction and providing more value for people.
Interesting that you mentioned it, because this is also something we were just discussing with my colleague the other day with regards to how deep to go with regards to screening candidates. So when we or anyone, in a staffing agency world, a recruiting agency screens candidates, they are somewhere on the scale from on the other side, just sending the CV to the client, or maybe asking a few pre-screening questions, sending them to the candidate and then answers to the hiring manager, or they go really deep. But that's very difficult, and very few recruiters can do it, and they usually
No, absolutely, and I think that's the thing that's changing. I think that if you have the ability to go very deep at scale very quickly with results that anyone can recognize, that changes the game, and that helps to solve this issue around everyone's CV being the same. I think it's probably the solution to that. I remember going through recruiting processes, agencies in the past and working with agencies in the past, and experiencing both of those things. People just sending me CVs, but also then people taking a huge amount of time to do in-depth assessments with candidates, which took a huge amount of candidates' time as well. And I think that we'll be able to do that very, very quickly now, which is a kind of a game changer, because it means everyone can offer that level of depth to the employer with the candidates they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then would you suggest that the recruiters also go deeper with regards to asking more thorough questions, or maybe using some of these AI tools to test the experience?
Yeah, I think they have to, and I think that's a potential sort of a big point of initially a point of differentiation, and I think it will become inevitable that people have to do it, because I think as this year goes on and next year goes on, AI becomes more embedded, more candidates are using it, more tools become available, people will have to do it. to actually get a sense of, you know, who am I putting forward for this job, and how do I know they're the right person that the employer is going to employ?
That's actually true. Yeah. And then the question is, what will, again, the candidate experience will be, because once recruiters start inviting the candidate and they start asking all of these kind of difficult technical questions, and then another agency starts asking it the same, you know, who knows what the experience will be like for candidates.
Yeah. And again, I think that's another interesting aspect to it. I think ultimately the solution is that, you know, the candidate kind of owns that data and does that and has, you know, something that people can access to see. I think that's the logical explanation. So the candidate is in charge of it. The candidate does all the tests. The candidates can present the verified data to whoever's recruiting them. And there's been a number of companies who tried to come onto the market to do something like that. Now, you know, that's a long way off in terms of, you know, these tools kind of all working together, and it's a very different perspective for them. But I think that ultimately, you know, something like that might, you know, something like that might happen, that the candidate has the ability to kind of own this, you know, own this data in some kind of way. Because you're right, as you say, you know, candidates will end up doing multiple tests multiple times, the same tests the same times, because different people kind of own the results. So again, it's another area where I'm hoping that we'll see some smart thinking and some innovation, but that's a long way off yet.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, now when you say it, I realize that it's similar to the CV. So it's as if each recruiter would create the CV of a candidate, right? Like, just imagine on the interview, like, hey, dear candidate, can you tell me where you worked? You know, and then the recruiter writes it down, and then the candidate goes on to interview elsewhere, and they create the CV again. You know, it's similar to asking the candidate the technical questions.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, how, you know, what's the world like where we share that kind of data? That's the thing. But obviously, in the scenario where the agency is paying to get that data, then, you know, they're not going to share it. So there's a kind of a barrier and a different way of thinking to kind of get over there, which, again, I'll be interested to see, you know, what solutions people come up with to deal with that issue.
Yeah. And then actually, interestingly, what will happen with agencies once the candidate owns the data, and then employers can access the data directly through some profile integrated with LinkedIn or whatever?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's another, you know, that's another question. That's another variable. I mean, I think that is some way off. That's one thing that I would say. But yeah, and I think that's why, if you're a recruiter, recruitment agency, right now is when you need to start thinking about these things and thinking about, you know, let's break the recruiting process down. Let's look at it. Let's see what do we do just because we've always done it? What do we do because it's useful? What do we do that could be replaced by a machine? And what do we do that's unique and valuable and interesting? And let's do more of that. And I think it's, and again, it may well be different for different sectors and, you know, different types of candidate, but it's a conversation people need to be having. And, you know, there are no answers at the moment. I can't present you with a perfect list of tips or strategies about how people should do it. There's just questions. But I think that my advice to people is they should be asking those questions right now, rather than, you know, dismissing this all as, you know, something that's not relevant to them or something that's going to happen a very long time in the future. You know, we just don't know. You know, 18 months ago, most people had never heard of generative AI. And now it's kind of all we talk about. So things change very quickly.
Awesome. Well, this is very inspiring to elaborate on what the future of recruiting is. And I usually ask about the last final advice, but what you just said kind of was the final advice, I would say, because it was just so deep. And but anyway, I still will ask. So what would be your advice for someone who is now on the edge and thinks or wonders whether he or she should join recruiting, how to, you know, to start working either as an external recruiter or internal recruiter. So what would you suggest to such person?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a very interesting time. It's going to be a very interesting time to start a career in recruiting because, you know, what your job looks like right now is not what your job will look like in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, even a year's time. I mean, who knows? So, but I think that's true of any profession and any job at the moment. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't advise people not to do it because I think it's there's a chance to be part of a big change here. I think my advice would, other than what I've already said, I think my advice to people in that position, and in fact anyone in general, would be, you know, we can't predict the future, but we can predict likely outcomes, and we can watch trends, and we can look at patterns from the past, and we can experiment with things. So I think it's that, you know, trying to understand the trends, the signaling, all the noise, and trying to spot what's long term and what's just people getting very, very excited about something in the short term. I think that's the key. It's kind of like you have to make an effort to try and understand and predict what's going to happen. And there's actually an academic discipline called strategic foresight, where people do this, and there are tools to do it. And it's not predicting the future, but it's kind of the best guess at what it's going to look like. But I think the exciting thing is, if you do that, then you've got a role in shaping the future as well. And I think that's the, I suppose that would be my message for anyone getting into the industry. You have the opportunity to shape the future of recruiting in a way that none of us have ever had, because although we've had the internet, although we've had social media, we've had mobile, we've had cloud computing, you know, the fundamentals of recruiting haven't changed in hundreds of years. And I think that's up for grabs now. So I think it's an exciting time if you've got that forward thinking mindset.
Super exciting. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. So you also wrote these two books. So would you like to say where can people find the books, or a bit more about you, where to connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So I've co-authored two books. I should mention my co-author at this stage in case he's listening. So co-authored two books with a very good friend of mine, Mervyn Dinnan. Exceptional Talent, which was out a few years ago, still available in wherever you get your books. Digital Talent, which is almost 2 years old, but still very relevant in terms of lots of things that it talks about. You can get that on Amazon. The main thing that I would love people to do is listen to my podcast, the Recruiting Future podcast, because we talk about these issues week in, week out in terms of spotting trends and predicting the future. And anyone who wants to connect to me, I'm very easy to find on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing all these insights. And my head is now spinning from all the ideas. And I'll just kind of need to sit down and do the strategic thinking as well to see where the industry is heading. So thanks.
Again, well, good luck, and good luck to everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi again, and really quick, if you'd like to get a new job as the tech recruiter, or if you'd like to start working as the independent freelance tech recruitment consultant, or if you'd like to start and grow your own agency, we can help you get closer to your goals. So just go to our website, techrecruitmentacademy.com, and learn more about the programs that we organize every now and then. So just go to the website, techrecruitmentacademy.com.